So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé MK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing Season 8, Episode 6 of Happily Ever After. In this episode, Alexei and Lauren return so everyone can try to talk Lauren out of a surgery. Patrick and Thais make it to Brazil. Sophie pets Rob's tarantula. Nicole and Mahmoud continue their fight in front of her friends. Kobe's friends continue to insult Emily. And Ed leaves Liz after a fight over taco pasta. We'll be back again next week to talk about Episode 7, when we're also back on our other channel, Love After Lockup MK, where we're covering the new season of Love During Lockup. All right, thanks for listening, stay safe, and enjoy.
Hello, Mr. O.
Hello, Ms. H.
How are you today?
I'm okay. It took a weird cold turn here, so I don't like that.
It did here, too. Yeah. It's all of a sudden misty and cold, and yesterday was kind of warm and sunny.
Yeah, it was pretty nice going forward, but I feel like many of the couples in this episode, it kind of took a dark and cold turn as we went through here.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so let's start with Let's start with one of the two blockbustery ones, I feel like, that came up. And that's start with Nicole Mahmoud. So we kind of left off last time where, you know, she had called him a hateful little fuck and he was like hiding or whatever. And everybody's still there. We're still continuing this fight. And at this point, Mahmoud is just out on the balcony smoking a cigarette and like everything's awkward. So Julian, who's supposed to be the savior, the one with the Ukrainian wife, who understands how this whole thing works, walks out there to try to talk things through with him. And so as they're sitting there talking, you know, the thing that comes up repeatedly from Mahmoud is like, I've been here 2 days. Like, this is how she's treating me on day two, right? And, you know, I think, which is a valid point. He's like, I haven't been here for months. I haven't been getting used to this. I literally just got here and she's cussing me out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Julian tries to talk to him about, like, you know, taking your time and, you know, not rushing in and doing anything rash. And, you know, it's going to take time to adjust because, you know, my wife, when she came over, she hated it for years, which I don't know why it was terrible for years is supposed to convince him that this is going to improve. Like,
right.
Right. So, you know, just trying to calm him down, trying to piece it over. This whole thing was just Julian trying to piece things over. So eventually he comes back in and the fight is still like ongoing, right? Everybody's just trying to calm both of them down to try to get both of them to like, it's like, they keep saying you just need to talk it out, which is like, I feel like that's literally all they've ever done is talk to things. And this is where it gets them. So, you know, we see or hear more from Julian. And at this point, he's in some sort in the interview. And as he's doing the interview, you know, talking about what he thinks about them keeping together, you just hear Nicole in the background. She's be like, just get out. Just get the fuck out of my house. Get the fuck out of my house. And he just sits there and like silently and like, I'm going to sit here quietly and still, like, the T-Rex is going to come out and he can sense your motion. I'm just sitting here quietly. but then we go back. The cameras kind of go right around the corner because she wasn't yelling at Julian. She wasn't yelling at production. She yelled it at Mahmoud. And all this is still going on. And like, And then he starts to leave. He's like, oh, you want me to get the fuck out? So I'll get the fuck out. He starts to put her jacket on and she's like, stop being ridiculous. Right. And he's like, but you told me to leave. And she says, of course I said that. But did I mean it? No.
Oh, and my gosh.
Still is like, you know what, though? I'm still out of here. So he puts on his jacket and like literally people are at some point, I think Julian's even holding him back. Like trying to get his way and like grabbing his shoulder. And he's like, let go of me, let go of me, let go of me, let go of me. So then he leaves and starts wandering down the street. And then Julian goes out to chase him. And is like, dude, you don't even know where you are, where you're going. Stop. Come back. Come back. And that's where we leave it off with them. So I feel like we should kind of start with that. Like, I feel like Julian's whole thing was, you don't want to make any rash decisions. You know, we don't want to get divorced. You know, that's not what anybody wants here. And I guess what bothered me about this whole segment is he's wrong. These people should get divorced.
Yeah, they should. I mean, if it's this nuts after 2 days, but I get where Julian's coming from too, right? It's like, it's been 2 days, but it's the same thing over and over again. So I think for us, it's kind of like, yeah, this is like the exact same argument. And so, yeah, it's been 2 days since he's been trying a new angle at this, right? He's in the US this time. But it's the same freaking argument. And it's like, we know that these people aren't ever going to resolve this clothing issue, this style issue. So just if it's just insanity at this point. Like, there's no change. You're just doing the same thing. It's like, okay, you shouldn't be together.
Right. And it what drives me crazy is they both understand it from one angle and one perspective and don't like put themselves in the other shoes. So especially on the clothing thing, right? Because we hear them both say something similar to what Mahmoud says to Julian when they're out on the patio is like, well, if she didn't want to dress like I expected her to dress, like a Muslim woman expected to dress, why did she marry a conservative Muslim man?
Yeah.
Like, why did you do that? You knew who I was this whole time. But then he never turns it around and be like, then why did you marry a liberal American woman that wants to dress the way she wants to dress? You know,
right.
Like, he doesn't put that he doesn't apply the same rules to himself that he applies to her.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're going to milk the hell out of this because at some point it's going to take a turn for the worse. And we kind of already know in real life what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a domestic abuse potential situation. So it's like, I feel like it's got to happen pretty early on because it's like, how long can we possibly be introducing Mahmoud to America?
Right now. I mean, before it flips out. I mean, we already had this one night, this one day, I think it's been like 4 episodes. Right? Since we've introduced, it's been the same day for a long time.
Yes, for a very, very long time. They had the one day together, and now this is the one day with the friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's going to continue going on with the friends. So it's like, oh my gosh, time is literally standing still because they're so boring.
Yeah, I just imagine, but one I couldn't get is this Julian standing up for things and trying to do things. I would just, if I was those friends, I would be like, I must dip immediately. Get me out of this house. I would just Irish but goodbye myself out of there so fast.
Yeah, that's kind of tough with a party of 3, though, you know?
Yeah, I would be like, why are we still here, guys? Let's get out of here.
Especially if you and your partner made up half of the party.
That's true. But I would be like, dude, why are you trying to talk to them? Get out. Like, they're just fighting. And it was to the point where there was no sense in them trying to hash things out tonight because it wasn't getting hashed out. Like, it was clearly at the fight at the point of you guys just need to be apart until you're both calm and you can – I would say you can talk things through rationally, but we both know they can't talk things through rationally.
No, they don't. And that's the other thing is, like, why is couples therapy or some kind of counseling not an option? Why do they keep on trying to handle this on their own? Right? It's
right.
Like they're not going anywhere. They're both being very stubborn. And like they'll say that they're willing to compromise, which is why I think they keep on, you know, going. But it's like I don't think either of them really know what that looks like. And they really need help.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. And I mean, this was the part where she was in the background just randomly yelling, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
That was the part of the show that I laughed out loud at because I legit thought that my TV screen had frozen and the audio was continuing to go on because Julian just sat perfectly still. And it was like, wait, she's still talking. I can hear her talking, but my screen isn't changing. It was just him sitting there, which is like its own concerning thing. I feel like Julian has seen his share of crazy fights. I don't know if they've been from Nicole this whole time, but like he's like, sit perfectly still. Wait for the camera. This is so they can edit this out if they want to. Okay, now start talking.
Yeah, I don't think I have much to say about their situation that really hasn't been said because, like I said, this has been the same argument.
This has been the same argument from the same thing. Same, and also the same random people running away in cities they're unfamiliar with. Like, we've seen that before, too. It just was her in Egypt before. Now it's him in LA.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's move on to Emily and Kobe. So Emily and Kobe are having another date night where they get to go out without the kids and the parents so they can talk shit about whatever's going on. And this time it's Emily wanting to get some answers from Kobe, because she brings up the conversation that she had with Kobe's friends, which included them revealing to Emily that Kobe had a girlfriend when he was in China and hooked up with Emily and got her pregnant. So Kobe, I don't really know how to describe him. I wouldn't really say evasive, but he didn't really offer any kind of answer to her questions of, did you have a girlfriend? You know, he just kind of said, really? Are we really going to talk about this? Kind of seeming to imply that she knew what the answer was, but I don't know. We don't know what the answer is, if Kobe really had a girlfriend or not. And that just kind of left it at that. Later, Emily is trying to win over the friends, because now at this point, she's got the impression that they don't really like her and don't think she's a good influence on Kobe. And so she wants to make a good impression on them. And she acknowledges that she doesn't have a home to entertain. So she does the next best thing and invites them all out to the club, where she's going to entertain them with, I don't know, buying drinks or something. So they're at something that kind of resembles table service. And Emily, you know, makes a little bit of a speech saying, thank you for being here. We just wanted to show you some hospitality. You know, I'm really sorry that we don't have a home for you to welcome into, but this is the next best thing, which Kobe's friends really disagree. They think that according to their culture that, you know, in order to show their hospitality, that they should be inviting them into their home so they can cook. So the fact that Emily has invited them to the club so she can buy them drinks just isn't quite the same thing. Emily's getting frustrated because she didn't know that this was something that you were supposed to do. And so the friends very much compare her once again to a Cameroonian woman and wife and say, well, you'll never live up to that. And Emily is just really frustrated. So she kind of gets into it with the friends, and they once again kind of reiterate how U.S. women are bossy, which Emily takes offense to that, and she gets up and leaves. All right, so if they were really expecting Emily to, you know, provide hospitality in a home and basically have like more of a dinner party type thing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't Kobe have told her?
Kobe should have told her. He left her hanging, right? He hung her out there for that. But it didn't even sound like they wanted a dinner party. They wanted a men's party where you stay in the kitchen and bring out food.
Oh, gosh.
Like that's what it sounded like they wanted. They didn't like, like, it would have been like, oh, you know, we'll appreciate Emily a lot better if we don't have to hear anything she says ever. And all she's doing is serving us. That would be the ideal woman that we would want to see, which is like, come on, man, you're not getting that. Like, and so it does kind of feel like we're trying, you know, we're just going down the list of things that could have gone wrong on this trip and be like, all right, fine, friends, I guess, like, have them be assholes to her, because like, it was maybe these white people will embarrass themselves in Cameroon, and they don't, right? Maybe the families won't get along and they won't accept Emily, and that didn't happen, right? And then so they're like, we need somebody to pick a fight with Emily. We really, really need to find somebody who's willing to pick a fight with Emily. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. Like, sure.
I was going to say, we've barely seen Kobe's parents. We've seen his friends way more.
Yeah, because the parents are like, we love you. We accept you. Have this wedding. Like, you're our brother. You're my brother husband now. Like, you know, it's like, you're my brother father now. And then it's like, that didn't work. There was no like, because their family, it bothers me that they always want this same storyline whenever it's an African man. Mm-hmm. Well, African men need to have wives that are completely subservient. They'll never be happy without a subservient wife. Bring that along. Why is that always the storyline?
Right. Like, I know, because Kobe seems pretty chill and happy.
Right. And just, yeah, it's the idea that like there's going to be somebody who thinks this is not of the natural order of things and bring it around. But his parents didn't seem interested in doing that this time.
Right.
Because they were like, oh, he's out of our hair. We didn't think anybody could stand the guy. So
That's interesting too, because he does seem kind of charismatic and pretty easygoing. It seems like he would be someone who could easily attract someone.
Yeah, you'd think so. Yeah. But I think he was kind of a playboy. And they were like, somebody like, I don't know if it was accept him. You found somebody that was, this guy was willing to settle down with and actually start a relationship with. Well, that's surprising. Like, I don't know what you did there. I don't know how that worked, but okay.
I mean, they keep talking about Kobe being an underwear model, like before he met Emily. It's just like, I just don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of way to go for one thing. Yeah. But I don't know. It's one of those, this was a situation though in this club where it would have been, and you know, even setting up the club, it would have been a lot better for him to be a little bit more assertive.
Yeah. Right?
And just to quash it down. Like, cause the friends were just, the things they were saying was just like kind of absurd. Like, you should have invited us into your home. She's like, we don't live here. And they're like, yeah, but you should have made a home out of the hotel room. And you're like, come on. I would have been like, guys, you are being ridiculous. Like right now. Like, and it was like, this is just not proper. You came out here and like had fun and gave us drinks. Brr, I disapprove. This is bad vibes. As they continue to drink the drink she was providing, by the way.
Right.
This bad vibe, low class taste as I finish the shot that you gave me. Like, come on.
Yeah, the whole thing's pretty ridiculous. But yeah, they have to find conflict somewhere.
Yeah, right. So speaking of people who also might be, you know, trying to look up on the hunt for conflict, let's talk Patrick and Thais. So Patrick and Thais and Elise are packing for the trip to Brazil. And it's pretty nerve-wracking to bring the two of them, the baby, John, and the dog on an international trip.
Oh, they put
the
dog on
the plane. It's driving me crazy. Took the dog on the plane.
Yeah.
Why? So they're talking about what to pack. Like, do we have to pack formula? Well, maybe, because we can't get that kind in Brazil. But how are we going to get it on the plane? Aren't they going to think it's drugs? And then they have a discussion about which one of them is more likely to have been a drug mule. So Thais says that she's talked to her dad, and he's apparently still pretty upset about the way things went down before the wedding. And he's still waiting for Patrick to come to him personally and get his blessing for the marriage that happened like 2 years ago. So Patrick is confused because he already asked for his blessing and he said no. And then they got married and had a kid. So isn't this – haven't we passed this a long time ago? But Thais still wants Patrick to talk to his dad in person and in Portuguese, and so he'll just do what makes her happy. So he reminds her at this point that her dad might not have been so negative if it hadn't been for her insisting that they keep it a secret for so long. Like, it's part of the main reason it happened so late was her decision, not his. So the next morning comes and they're off to the airport, and then Thais reiterates, but you know, as they go through the airport, they pretty much tell us these are all the stakes for this trip and just summarize their whole season. So then they're on the ground in Brazil and they have to pack all these people and all these bags into a very much smaller car than the one they got to the airport in America. So Thais thinks she should be the one to drive because she grew up in Brazil. But Patrick is like, I've been here plenty of times. I know how to drive. Although I'm not sure because they don't seem to agree on how stop signs work.
Oh, like, God, I know, right?
He definitely thinks, like, this is a country where you roll through. And she's like, no, you have to stop. You have to stop. You have to stop. Ah, stop. We hear her yell that numerous times. So while they're in the car, her dad calls to say hello to Thais and also to call Patrick a little bastard.
God. Things are not good.
Her dad wanted to kind of come over right away when they got to their place so he could meet the grandkid. But Thais is like, no, we're going to get there and we have to rest and put the baby to bed. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Right. So they get to what is Patrick's apartment. Like, Patrick has an apartment in Brazil. It's his dad's and they rent it from him. And then he sets up the pack and play. And then before they do what Thais said they were going to do, Patrick's dad shows up. Jose is his name. So Thais is a little confused and a lot annoyed because she was like, I thought we would like have one night to decompress and do stuff together before people visited. And also, I told my dad we couldn't visit and his dad's here. So she's a little annoyed that Patrick didn't say no. So I guess that's all we have. So I think we're kind of, like I said, might be stretching for conflict in this one. Like, how much do you think Thais's dad actually wants Patrick's blessing, or how much is he just giving him shit and just doing this to give him a hard time?
I think he is giving him a hard time because it's like what I get where Patrick's coming from. He already said no. They did it anyway. Like, what exactly does he want? He obviously still pissed. This blessing isn't going to happen. So does he just want the satisfaction of, like, kind of like the thing closest to groveling? Like, I just don't really understand what Thais's dad is expecting from this supposed blessing, right?
Right, right. I mean, yeah, because it just, it doesn't make any sense at all, because it's like, it doesn't matter with your, it already happened. It's yes. done. Like, this is, the toothpaste is out of the tube, man. Like, you can't do that.
Right. And also, it's not like he's like God or Jesus and needs to bless something at this point, especially after the fact. Was it going to somehow give you good luck or, you know, whatever?
Yeah, but what's exactly the point of the blessing? What does anyone gain from the blessing besides you feeling good that you made your son-in-law grovel at you, like you said?
Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't really understand what he's trying to get at, but I think he really is trying to assert some kind of, like, maybe to, like, scare Patrick a little bit, assert some kind of dominance. That's the only thing I could really see him getting out of this.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the other thing, too. The other part that always bothered me about her dad is how much does she tell him to know, like, no, Dad, that wasn't Patrick's idea. That was my idea.
Yeah, I know, right? Right?
That was me that told him to do that. Like, instead of her just being like, well, you know, my dad doesn't like you because you waited too long. He was like, you told me to wait that long. I've been trying to talk to this guy for a year and you told me to tell me to wait.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely at fault there. But maybe she also thinks that, like, he'll start to change his mind once the baby's around. You know, yeah, once he gets to see the baby, because I don't know if he's kind of like a softy, especially when it comes to baby. But it really did seem like he was excited and wanted to see the baby, meet the baby right away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. And yeah, maybe it's a lot harder to be the level of dick he's been being in person to someone's face than it is to say it to your daughter. Oh, that son of a bitch you're with. Is he there? Little asshole. Yeah. Like, it's the one thing to do that and everything to have to stare at someone who, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and guess that Patrick is much bigger and stronger than this guy. To
look at that guy, I think so too. Call him a little bastard. Right. But at the same time, I think, like, Thais is pretty tall. So, I mean, they might be the same height.
They might be the same height, but Patrick has, like, those roid muscles.
Yeah, he definitely does. Yeah. Yeah, definitely scary. All right, let's move on to Rob and Sophie. So Rob is preparing salmon on crackers on a platter, and he puts a ring in the middle of the plate, stuck in some, like, little glob of cream cheese. Sophie feels like things are awkward because they're both trying to avoid the elephants in the room. Sophie sees her ring in the middle of this platter, and she appreciates the gesture of breakfast in bed, although she's not appreciative of the fact that her ring was embedded in a blob of cheese. Sophie inspects the ring and says, this isn't her wedding ring. And after a bit of debate, she finally admits that, okay, maybe it is her ring. I just don't recognize it. Back at the house, Rob is checking in on his babies, meaning the tarantulas. He quizzes Sophie on their names, and Sophie remembers the name Swag, and that's it.
Oh, God.
She doesn't like the idea of being a spider mom, but since Rob is making an effort, she feels like she should make an effort to be a spider mom. Rob is trying to get her to pet them. Rob thinks it's weird that Sophie used to save snails when she was growing up and put them in a lettuce garden for them to thrive and for her to home, I guess. Sophie very reluctantly pets one of the tarantulas, but then likes it because she says it feels like velvet. After she pets the tarantulas, Rob puts on his wedding ring because it feels like they're getting past the rocky part of their relationship. He knows he can come off as an asshole, so he's focusing on trying to stop being reactive. Later, Sophie is making bracelets with Kay at an arts and craft place with drinks. Sophie updates Kay on her situation with Rob, and Kay asks how the sex life is going. Sophie tells us that she never consummated their relationship on their wedding night because she was sick and they were drunk. She thinks that that might have been bad luck, though, because their sex life hasn't really recovered. They haven't had sex in 6 months, and they've only been married for almost a year. Sophie says that they were having sex twice a week, and it got to the point that Sophie had to dress up for him to be in the mood. Kay cannot understand this sex situation and thinks that Rob may have some issues, you know, downstairs. Sophie wonders if the online porn is affecting his sex life. She's wondering if Rob is attracted to her fully, and that's why she hasn't really initiated sex with him. She's kind of embarrassed by their sex life. Kay says she just wants her to be happy and wonders if maybe Sophie should just be with a woman. Sophie says that she's been with women sexually, but never been in a relationship with one. So we kind of get a flashback of her admitting to Rob that she is bisexual and ends up that she lied to Rob about never being with a woman because she didn't want to make that conversation worse than it already was. Kay suggests that they both go to therapy, and Sophie thinks Rob could benefit, but Kay points out they both could. Sophie says that therapy sounds horrible, but she thinks that they are in a good place, but she wants to be happy, so they need to improve their sex life, so she's open to therapy. All right, so we get a little bit more, and this is probably the longest we've really seen an interaction with Kay and Sophie. So now that we've seen her a little bit more, do you get the vibes that she is, like what Rob thinks, trying to sabotage her relationship with Rob?
Sabotage is a weird word. Do I think that Kay probably thinks Rob's a dick that Sophie shouldn't be with? Probably. Right? Do I think Kay is trying to get with Sophie instead? No. Not from what we saw here.
No.
Because that's what Rob's worried about. Rob's worried about they're a thing and it's going to be a couple. So I don't know.
And she's
about
trying
that.
To get rid of him, and that's why she's like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but no, she's just
dude.
Like, man, because he sucks. That's why.
yeah. I definitely got that vibe, too, just because, I mean, she was suggesting they go to therapy, right?
Sure.
Which, if anything, isn't trying to blow things up. It's really trying to make things better and mend things.
Right. Well, yeah, it's either the choices are this guy needs to start being less of a dick or or it has to end. So let's start with this guy being less of a dick if this is someone that you want to be with.
Right? Yeah.
But. I don't know. It's like therapy is one of those things that's weird that if I find that people who have and I'm really glad that it works for that. A lot of people find, you know, therapy works for them and helps them out. But, you know, I've been in therapy, like, you know, was going through some things before. And it's like for me, it's just like meh. And, you know, the kind of people who are like, everybody needs therapy. It helps so much. I was like, yeah, it didn't.
No.
Yeah. It was
I liked therapy quite a bit. I mean, there are parts of therapy that weren't my favorite, like, you know, feeling like you had to go like once a week because it's just like becomes an inconvenience. You're like, oh, you got to schedule it. And so those are the things that like made me not want to go. Oh, plus also paying for therapy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like no one wants to pay for that. So it's like it all kind of becomes a chore. But I agree that just like. The process of talking things out to someone who, you know, maybe has more of a neutral or a different perspective from you is helpful. And I mean, and I think you could kind of recreate a similar-ish situation with, you know, impartial people in your life. So, I mean, I think that anyone can benefit from like talking things out, whatever that looks like to them.
Yeah, but I think part of the thing is like, I don't know that it would be very effective for Rob because Rob doesn't think he has to change anything. He's not trying to better himself, right? And if he wants to, he just wants to hear when Rob wants to talk things out. He just wants to hear, yeah, right on. You are right. Yeah, that's totally.
I'm your ride or die.
Yeah, you are. And that's what I'm saying. In that disagreement, you were right. You had exactly all the right things. She was doing you wrong. Absolutely. Like, you were totally right to feel that way. That's all he wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear, like, well, I mean, think about it from her perspective. Maybe if it's blah, he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't want that.
No.
And so that part of the therapy. Now, I feel like a lot of sometimes you get the people who are like, maybe you guys should try therapy. And she's like, well, I don't know if it would work to me. And she's like, that might just be Benjamin K being like, I'm tired of being your free therapist. You should get some professional to do this because what we're doing right now, what you keep doing with me, is basically the same thing as therapy.
You're like, this is therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just that the thing is even when he's trying to be nice, like he does it in such a way where he's like, well, I don't know. I was just trying to maybe like. I don't know. It's like he makes a breakfast for her, which isn't the greatest breakfast. It's something she knows she doesn't like. So it's like half thought out, right?
Yeah.
Like she's literally like, you know, I don't like hunks of cheese, which is a weird thing to not like, but a weirdly specific thing to not like, but certainly
right.
something
it's
that's
like
come up
like
before.
It's like you like cheese, just not in a hunk. Okay.
She's like, I like cheese. I don't just like cheese just when it's just cheese. But I'm sure that's come up. Like, it's a weird, weirdly specific thing to not like that hasn't been like come up. It has to do it. But like, he just is aggressively half-assing everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, oh, I think I'll just make her some breakfast. I don't know. This kind of sucks as a breakfast, but you know, it's better than nothing. Like he even says it when he's making it. Like if they're putting little salmon things on the things, and like, I guess I could put the ring in here. Maybe it's like he's like convincing himself that he's half-assing it as he's doing it. It's so weird.
He is a weird character.
Yeah, I hope he finds some bigger cages for those tarantulas too. I feel like those were
They were so
small.
Tiny. Yeah. I was like, all right. Does he let them run free out and about outside of that?
I don't think so. I mean, I imagine they're going to get bigger than that. I feel like they're like juvenile. I feel like when I've seen other tarantulas, they're quite like, you know, they're bigger than the ones that they had. Maybe it's a different breed and they don't get that big. But even if it's only that big, it just didn't seem like very much space for it to run around.
No, it didn't. But that kind of goes back to, you know, Rob does everything
half-assed.
Like, you know, keeping his tarantulas.
Yeah, and seeing the bats. Are we going to see what time the bats come out? No, I'm just going to go to the bridge whenever I feel like it. And,
and hope the bats are there.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, so that leaves us. Let's move on to, oh boy, Ed and Liz. So we start off with Liz in the car by herself. And then they kind of switch over to a dramatically empty living room that Liz comes into for an interview. So she starts off right away by telling us that Ed canceled the wedding. So she says they got into an argument in front of his family. So it started off because the taco pasta that Ed had made for...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Taco pasta comes up so much in this episode.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I was like, why? Why is this happening?
I definitely... So I saw it today. So I don't remember somewhere, but I saw it online that TLC somewhere had posted a taco pasta recipe.
Oh, gosh. Stop
anyway,
it.
So he made taco pasta, and it was too spicy for Riley. So he said something to the effect of stop being a baby and eat it. And we don't know how the tone was. We don't know how mean it sounded because all we got was Liz saying that. So, but Liz got mad that he was, you know, being mean to her daughter. And then everything got out of hand. They got into a big fight. And we all know the kind of stupid, you know, way Ed behaves when he gets backed into a corner and told he's being wrong. He's wrong. He turns into like extra asshole Ed all the time. So that night, like while she was sleeping, she kind of rolled over and Ed was just gone, right? And then the next day, she got a text from their wedding officiants being like, oh, I'm so sorry the wedding got canceled. That's how she found out her wedding got canceled.
Oh my gosh, that's so effed up.
Liz is surprised because that taco pasta fight was not anywhere near as explosive as the fights they used to have. And it's literally taco pasta. Like, we're breaking up because of taco pasta?
Yeah.
So she says she suspects that he's just getting cold feet and was kind of looking for any excuse out. So she doesn't know what else she could have done. She tells us no one would have fought for him as hard as she did. And that makes it a special kind of love, which is not the conclusion I would have drawn from that. The fact that no one else would fight for this guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ed is staying with his sister and he's ignoring her. And she's kind of dying to know why this even happened. So then they fake us out by showing us Ed, and he's asking if Liz, did you make this iced tea? But it's not the Liz from the show. It's his sister Liz. So from here on out, we're going to have
confusing.
Sister Liz and show Liz. So sister Liz is wearing dark sunglasses the whole time because she recently had cataract surgery. So it looks very ominous. Indoor glasses are always sunglasses. So they talk about Liz blowing up like at the event, the taco pasta event. And sister Liz seemed to be like, she didn't even seem to think that Liz was wrong to be angry, but she was just like, I just kept thinking she would stop, and she just kept going. She just kept going. And that brings us to Ed's side of the story. So he says that Liz came, completely unglued just because the pasta was too spicy. He seemed to miss the part where it was because he called Riley a baby, but he thought it was just because the pasta was too spicy. So he feels that she doesn't respect him because she takes these little things and she blows them way out of proportion. And then he said that as this fight was going on, this fight is the one that made him realize that they're just going to keep having the same fights over and over again. The other 13 breakups that they had, I guess, didn't do that.
God. I know.
So
right?
Ed says that he's already got his deposit back from the venue. He's calling his friends, telling them the wedding's off. And then Sister Liz tells Ed's that, you know, maybe that's for the best. I always saw you with a born again Christian, which, oh my God, I don't wish that on born again Christians. Like, since, you know, he and Liz are clearly wrong for each other. Then Ed tells us that he doesn't want to be divorced again. So, you know, divorce would just be the worst thing for both of them, but especially him. So Sister Liz asks how Show Liz took the news, and he's like, I don't know, because I didn't tell her that I canceled the wedding yet, because something about her not being ready for that conversation or something like that. So Sister Liz is like, yeah, you should probably tell her. So he goes, okay, I'll text her to meet at a neutral place. But again, this isn't going to be like the other 13 times. This time, we're going to be broken up for good. All right, so, I mean, I think I know how it goes, but in terms of, we heard two stories, and obviously in both stories, Rashomon style, where they were like blaming the other, but they were blaming the other person.
Like, yeah.
Whose story do you buy more?
Liz's, because Ed is like a liar. You know, he's a known liar and he says things to be manipulative, you know? Mm-hmm. And then also, I can see like Ed having a warped sense of reality, right?
Sure.
He never takes accountability for things that he says or does. He always victimizes himself. And, you know, I feel like he's leaving out the part of the story that makes him look bad.
Right. The part where he called his the child names. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I could 100% see him doing that.
Sure. I could too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think he's just lucky that it didn't get caught on camera.
Yeah.
Right.
And but we've also seen him just – he has this mannerism of going, right, where if the fight starts and the way he defends himself is to say like nasty shit under his breath or kind of a thing. And so like even Sister Liz is – well, she kept going. She wouldn't stop. It's probably because he kept provoking her. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah.
Right? During the – in the fight without like getting loud and obnoxious. But we've seen him just be like, I know I'm a Messiah. And we've seen him – it always happens on tell-alls. Like he feels like he knows the thing that's going to make this person the most pissed off and immediately says it.
Yeah. Oh, he's so awful. Yeah. Yes. But it just – I just don't even understand all of this. You know? Like I don't understand why – if you're really going to cancel the wedding – that you're going to do it on the down low. That makes no sense to me.
No. Yeah. What, like, I mean, it makes it sound like he's more intent on having it stick this time because he doesn't want to make it a big dramatic part of their fight. He's just going to do it. But why you don't just listen, I'm canceling the wedding and just tell her. Like,
yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's like, and then you're avoiding her. Like this all does not make sense. It's like, be a big boy, you know, and just, you know, tell her and then cancel if that's the conclusion that you have drawn. I mean, you don't need to get like a sign off from her on it. But I mean, courtesy, just let her know
before the officiant does. Right.
So
at least be the one that tells her. Yeah. I mean, that was the part from Liz's perspective that I just didn't get. I don't understand this at all. And we've seen it from Rob. We see couple after couple who just talks about, yeah, but we had to fight for it. I wanted her to fight more for me. It should have been a fight. Like, what? Your relationship should not be a fight to get it to a better place. Can it be tough? Can there be rough patches? Yes. But you shouldn't ever be like, I'm with this person because I fought them. Who are you fighting? I'm so confused about how this happens.
But these are the same people who, you know, misinterpret like a lot of volatility in their relationship as passion.
Yeah.
You know, and like we have to have passion. And then they're in a very stable relationship and you're like, this relationship has no passion. And it's like, no, this relationship is stable and doesn't have the volatility that you seem to associate with passion.
Sure. Right. But it was like, she said that too. And she was just like, nobody else would have fought for him this hard because I love him more than everybody else. So I was like, I guess that's technically true because you love him more than everybody else because everybody else thinks he's a piece of shit and doesn't want to be with him.
Everybody hates him. So yes, by default, you win.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
I fought the hardest for this turd. I should be able to keep it. Like,
yeah.
But I also get where now that I literally said it like that, I feel like that's kind of where she is. Like she's like, this is a piece of trash that nobody else wants, and even it rejected me. Like,
oh, that's, yeah. Yeah, if you think about it from that, that's super shitty, right, for your self-esteem.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's got to be hard to think about it from that perspective.
Right, right. And she didn't say it like that, but I bet she's thinking about it like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's move on to our last, mostly stable couple, Lauren and Alexi. So Lauren and Alexi are celebrating their daughter's first birthday with Ariel, their daughter. She's actually sleeping. So they sing happy birthday to her in Yiddish. They're feeling outnumbered with three kids a decade into their relationship. They both agree that three kids is enough. Lauren is over baby-making mode. She wants to do something for her, which means plastic surgery. Alexi's parents are now in the country helping take care of the kids. His parents are helping with childcare as Lauren is having a natural mommy makeover. She's having a fat transfer from all the unwanted places to her boobs. She's had abdominal diastasis, which means that her abdominal muscles are detached. Lauren feels like the surgery will make her feel better, and she's not ashamed of it because she thinks it will boost her confidence. Her mother, Marlene, is not a fan of elective surgery. Lauren has suffered from body dysmorphia, and she doesn't feel comfortable feeling like she has to suck in all the time. Lauren thinks she's prioritized everyone first, and Marlene thinks she should be thinking of others. Alexi feels like he's forced to accept her surgery. She hopes that surgery will help her get over her body dysmorphia. After the party, Alex is talking with Marlene. They talk together about previous plans to move to Israel. This caused tension in their relationship, but they have postponed plans to move. Marlene asks what he thinks about Lauren's plastic surgery. Marlene makes it clear that she doesn't support this elective surgery. Alexi says that he doesn't support it either, but she wants it, so what are you going to do? Alexi doesn't think anything will go wrong because it's a good doctor and a good facility, but he thinks it will be a difficult recovery, and he worries about having to take care of everything, including the three kids. He thinks it will put a strain on the relationship because they will both be cranky about the situation. He says that they have a final consultation, and he says that maybe he'll push back more, and Marlene suggests he fight until the end. He hopes it will be the last chance to sabotage the whole thing if he feels bad about it. He says he will give a last effort to do something, even though they both acknowledge she's going to do what she wants. All right, so what do you think of this idea? And she's not the only one, but people acknowledge they have body dysmorphia, and their solution is, let's get everything nipped and tucked.
Well, I mean, in theory, I don't know. I don't know enough about psychology to know the ins and outs of body dysmorphia, but I do know that we've seen plenty of people who have body dysmorphia and they're constantly wanting another surgery. Like every time they fix something, they're like, well, now next is this, next is this, right. Next is this, right. Next is this. And it just goes on forever. Right. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that the solution is necessarily to just suck it up and, you know, leave it the way it is and just live in misery the whole time, right? So mm-hmm. I don't know psychologically like what help is, because I don't know much about body dysmorphia. I know gender dysmorphia, right? And mm-hmm. I know that a very effective way of dealing with gender dysmorphia is to transition and live in the gender that you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that is it's one of those things that's crazy, because that's like, in terms of if you want to call gender dysmorphia psychological, you know, issue, one of the most effective treatments there is in the planet for any issue anybody has. Like mm-hmm. we just do this and it fixes it for just about everybody, right?
Yeah.
And but I don't know how this body dysmorphia, because we've seen this, it's never enough. Like it's right. never, because that's kind of, I mean, I feel like it's a little bit related to, and I have no idea, so I'm kind of talking out of my ass on this, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's kind of like people with anorexia and eating disorders, right?
Oh, sure, and they sure. Get to be they super, see something different.
They see something that's different yeah. than everybody else sees.
Yeah.
And that seems very clear that she is – Lauren is definitely seeing something that not everyone else is seeing, because she – does objectively look fantastic for someone who had three kids in 3 years.
Yeah, but I think part of the problem is too, is this, why do you have to have this high expectation? Like she wants to look good for someone who hasn't had three kids. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
she's trying to live up to a different standard. Like, why can't we just accept that this is an experience that we've had, you know, if you've been a mother, and like, just accept that your body is just different. And then it's just like, you have all these women. I mean, she is not the only one. They, mm-hmm. you know, the mommy makeover, it's like a thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's because, yeah. you know, you have all these women who just don't accept that, you know, like, they can look good for having kids or however many kids they had. They want to look good for someone who's never had kids.
Right. And most of the people we've seen with the mommy makeover things, mm-hmm. it is one of those things that is tough when you look over society, because there's a lot of people who I need to look good for never having kids, or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there's a huge number of women that were like, I will take your body right now as is, no, yeah. like no, without hesitation, and not for like for someone who's had kids, as in like, I will never look as good as you look right now. And mm-hmm. then you're going in, it's tough to do that and then have that person say, and I don't look good enough. I need to look better.
Right.
And that's, but it's not about everybody else, right? It's about her and how, yeah. and how she feels. It just, I don't know that this. And that's my only issue with the surgery. If we knew that she could have this surgery and it would be fixed forever and she'd never want to do anything else,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that her family would be as supportive of it, but I would be like, yeah, sure, then do that. Like, fix it, get it done, don't live in thing. But I just think that she has this surgery and goes through all this pain and suffering, and then at the end of it is still like, no, still doesn't feel right, like not good enough.
Yeah, I think I also struggle a little bit. It's like when your partner is the one who's like saying, you know, like, you look good. I don't mm-hmm. understand. I'm not supportive of this surgery. Like, at that point, it's like, I'm not saying you should only do things for your partner and you should only look a certain way for your partner. But, you know, like, I don't know. I think in a way that is, there is some truth to it, right? Like, maybe like, you care about how you are attracting other people. And I would think your partner would be a big part of that. So if Alexi's saying, you know,
yeah,
things
yeah,
are fine.
I mean, and I think Alexi is handling it like as he should, like he has mm-hmm. opinions on it. Right. He's sure. allowed to say that, I think you look good the way you are, and I don't think you need – I don't see any need for any improvement. But ultimately, if she decides that she wants to do that, that's her body and her choice. And he has no say
Absolutely.
Over that, right? And so
yeah.
that was kind of his mantra. Is like, what is it – my opinion has been made known, but it's mm-hmm. not my body to make a decision about. So if that's what she wants to do, she wants to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, if this is their drama for the season – okay.
Yeah, I mean, it is always it has traditionally been tough to come up with drama. There's a reason they haven't been on like one of the main shows for like five seasons.
Well, they had their own spinoff.
Oh yeah, they had the yeah, it was a spinoff.
That's how we found out.
But it
that
was like
they
a
were going to
short
move.
Run spinoff, right? It wasn't that long.
I don't remember. I think I want to say there was two seasons of it. Because they had the birth of their second son, I think, was on the first season. And the second season, it was them going to Israel.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've been around. And I don't know. I feel like they have a different, like, breed of drama just where they are in their lives. They have been together a lot longer than a lot of these couples that are on the show right now.
Yes.
You know, and
yeah,
so it's like,
about, it's like 10 years.
Like, right. Yeah. And they have kids, which just gives a different vibe altogether, mm-hmm. you know, and their families, for the most part, don't really have drama with one another. So
right.
it's yeah, it's just different. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So this is it. This is their drama. Plastic surgery.
Plastic right. surgery. Right. This time it's plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So we did not see Ashley and Manuel and Gino and Jasmine. So out of the
nice.
Group that
yeah.
we saw, I know that's actually, yes, that is nice. Out of the group you saw this week, who would you say is your student of the week?
I'd say Alexi for kind of for the way, like I said, the way he handled the surgery that he doesn't necessarily agree with, but still recognizes and understands that it's not ultimately his decision. And he really doesn't get to say that it's his decision, but still is allowed to have his thoughts and feelings about it.
Right. I agree. Although it did, it was like, oh, you're going to sabotage her. I hope that's just a translation thing.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, and Alexei, he's always been one of my more favorite cast members. I mean, I acknowledge that sometimes he gets a bit cranky, but I mean, he's never explosive or terrible the way that some of these people can be.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. How about your dunce?
You got to go with Ed this time. This, mm-hmm. I mean, just how are you going to break up with someone and not tell them that you broke up with them?
Absolutely. We are on the same page this week. Ed, 100%. Like, that was ridiculous. Like, how old are you? He's like pushing 60. You would think he would treat his relationships more maturely.
Yeah. No. I mean, oh my God. But he's not. He's a child.
He's a child because
we heard that same thing. Like when we're bringing up over taco pasta. And it's like, it's not about the taco pasta any more than when this kid gets suspended because he cussed out a teacher because a teacher told him not to put his phone away. That it was, can you believe I'm just getting suspended over looking at my text messages? Like, you aren't getting suspended for that. Like, there's other things that happened in between those two things that got you suspended.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, what about your life lesson?
I mean, I guess I would go towards for Kobe and be like, if you're from the culture, it's your job to set the expectations and vet the plans, right? The fact that, like, he should have known that wasn't going to go well and should have told her that wasn't going to go well. And he totally didn't. He was like, take it to a bar, to a club. It'll be great. It's like, no, like that's your job. And to the point where the friends should have been like, Kobe, why didn't you tell her we were supposed to have a dinner? Like, why did you let her do this?
Oh, my goodness. So my life lesson is a little bit more lighthearted this week, but it really is aimed towards Rob. Never put jewelry in food or drink. It's like that is where accidents can happen. That's where your jewelry gets all junked up. Like, there's no reason. And it wasn't like he was surprising her like with an engagement. Just give her the ring. Don't just get it all gunked up with cheese, like
mozzarella.
Why?
Yeah, just a big hunk of mozzarella. She's like, she's like, I don't like cheese. It's stinky. And now my finger smells like it. Thanks. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Just jewelry. It does not belong in food or drink. Just everyone stop.
That's true.
All right. Okay. So we will be back again next week with this group. And Love After Lockup has just started with Love During or Before Lockup. I always forget.
It's during Lockup. Yes.
So we are on the other podcast channel with that one that just premiered last Friday. An interesting group. So check out our other channel if you're into Love After Lockup.
Yep. We'll see everybody there.
Okay. All right. So we'll see everyone next week.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.